The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS, welcome. It is that day. You've made it now halfway through the week. Congratulations. It is hump day. It is August the 10th. I should have mentioned yesterday, I just think we've lost track of this. It is another anniversary of a significant day, and that is the anniversary of the bombing, I think, of Nagasaki, I think was number two. And on August the 6th over the weekend was Hiroshima. Huge days that changed the course, I think, of history for us, certainly for Japan and maybe even the rest of the world. We didn't talk about that, but I just wanted to acknowledge that that had taken place yesterday. Got a heck of a show for you today. I do want to spend considerable time talking about this developing issue of the search warrant that was executed. We can call it a raid if you'd like. Out at Mar-a-Lago. I've done a lot more reading, listening, thinking about it. I have some growing concerns about it, and I want to share them with you. I also want to get your feedback on it. We had some decent conversations yesterday, honestly. They're pretty good. There were also some positions taken by some folks that I just think are premature at best, but even if they're not crazy over-the-top kind of stuff. And I got to tell you, there are aspects of that conversation that don't help us get to what we need here. And what we need here is transparency and the truth before we make some bigger judgment. But I do have some thoughts on this that are, I'm more concerned now than I was yesterday. I'm not to where Joe from Arvada was. In fact, I can't get there short of a shovel to the head. There's no way I'm going to get there. No offense, Joe. Actually, there is a little bit of offense, but not a ton of offense there, Joe. But I do have some growing concerns about what we saw yesterday and what it's going to take for us to get back to some sense of normalcy. We may never get there again. I don't know. But before we do all of that stuff, we've got to get caught up on the good news of the day. And I hope it's all good news. And then we also have to get caught up on the better news of the day. And that is through you choose the news. Part of me wonders if we're going to go snake or not. And I think you just have to listen to it to get to the good stuff. It's almost like you have to have, you can't have your pudding if you don't have your meat.
That's true.
And that's where we're at right now.
And very rarely do I follow the phrase of getting back to normal. That's not normally my brand.
Well, there again, you just invoked the whole, there is a normal brand. That ain't it.
Yeah, not it. No, not at all. Good morning, sir.
Without any further ado, William Thorpe.
How are you today?
I'm good, man. We've had a lot of conversations offline about this same thing, which is this dang Mar-a-Lago issue.
It is. Very interesting.
And where it goes from here. And it's concerning. It's historic, so I'm glad we're talking about it, but dang.
Yeah, I know. Dang. Can't wait to see what the audience thinks.
Yeah, did.
Good morning. Coloradans are going to have some new tax exemptions and credits to enjoy beginning today. Among the tax breaks approved by state lawmakers are $1,000 credit for older Coloradans to help pay for housing. Lawmakers also approved a tax credit for early childhood educators and a property tax exemption for nonprofit child care centers. Coloradans will also no longer pay state sales tax on diapers and some feminine hygiene products starting today. Denver's minimum wage is going to be going up next year to $17.29 an hour. The increase is tied to the Consumer Price Index, which is the city is estimating at nearly 9% due to inflation. The Denver school system is working with the Classroom Teachers Association on raises and enhanced benefits for teachers who are Black, Indigenous, or fit into the category of people of color. Union members want DPS to do more to retain and recruit minority teachers. They also want the district to do more training on diversity and equity for all employees. The pilot of a small plane is dead after a crash near Centennial Airport. The pilot was the only person on board when the plane crashed in a field near the end of the runway. The FAA and NTSB are investigating the crash. And the Rockies really spanked the first-place Cardinals at Coors Field yesterday. Yeah, they scored 9 runs in the bottom of third. They got a 16-5 win.
That's huge.
Yeah, game 2 of the series is tonight. Yeah.
Where was that team?
I know. The NFL owners have approved the sale of the Denver Broncos for over $4.5 billion. That's the most expensive sports team sale in history. That dwarfs the previous NFL record of just over $2 billion, and that was for the Carolina Panthers.
How much
back
the
in
Broncos?
2018. $4.5 billion.
Good grief.
Yeah, I know. It's like, tell me about it. And I think we got our first preseason game come up Saturday against the Cowboys. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Fashion designer Betsy Johnson is 80 today. Emmy-nominated actress Rosanne Arquette is 63.
What?
Antonio Banderas is 62.
No way.
Yes, Puss in Boots.
Zorro?
Yes. Yeah, Puss in Boots and Zorro. And,
well,
yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
One's animated. Yeah,
exactly. Author Suzanne Collins is 60. She's the author of the Hunger Games series. Angie Harmon's 50, and TV reality personality Kylie Jenner
Smoking
is 25.
Angie Harmon is 50?
I know.
You know, used to be married to, I think he was a Giants wide receiver, Jason Sehorn, but I don't think they're together anymore.
I don't know. I thought you were going to say, well, she used to be married to me.
That's
a humble brag.
That's a long list. Yes. She's just not on it.
Just not on that one. No.
But she was one of the prosecutors on, Law and Order.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a long time. And I remember thinking, maybe we wouldn't have the turnover in prosecution that we have right now if everybody was as beautiful as the people on Law and Order.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Anyway.
It is like that. Oh, anyway. Without any further ado. Out of nowhere, it is now time to play everybody's favorite radio news game show, You Choose the News. I have spent mere minutes scouring the interwebs to find rather ridiculous stories, giving them stupid headlines, and we play this fake radio news game. We are proudly sponsored today by Danger Dan's Lifestyle Tips and Tricks. Yes, you can jump on the craft beer and homebrew craze. We will tell you how in just a few minutes. But before we get to that fun information, it is time for you to choose the news. All right, George, your headlines today are Full Contact Funeral, Live Like the Rich, sort of, Your Cat Hates You, and Lying Down on the Job. Once again, those choices are Full Contact Funeral, Live Like the Rich, sort of, Your Cat Hates You, and Lying Down on the Job. Your choice, sir.
Well, look, I love our cat. We have a cat and a dog. I love Matt the cat, but I'm intrigued. My son showed me some TikTok videos. Yeah. I guess the Chinese were watching them with us, but of cats assaulting their owners.
Yes.
And most of the stuff he shows me on TikTok doesn't amuse me. I laughed out loud for several of those. Let's go with Your Cat Hates You.
All right. This comes to us from London. Cats actually love the people that hate them and hate the people who love them because of how you touch them. Yes.
What?
How do you touch the cat? People who are cat people and claim to be knowledgeable and experienced are more likely to restrain the animal and touch them in areas they don't like.
What the?
Yeah. It's a new research study from the University of Nottingham. They've found the blame falls on the person, not the animal.
Right.
They say while most dogs shower any human in affection, cats are much harder to please and have a few more rules and stipulations about their relationship with us.
Oh, boy.
So, for example, cats have red areas where they hate to be touched. This includes the base of their tail and their stomach. Attempts to stroke these regions instantly get them annoyed. There are green areas, such as the gland-rich regions that are at the base of their ears and under their chin. But the new study that was published in the Journal of Scientific Reports found that self-styled cat people are more likely to touch the red areas, making their animals feel uncomfortable and increasing animosity between owner and cat. People who actually lived with cats for several years were also found not to give the cats enough independence. The study looked at 120 people with varying cat exposures and took place at London's Battersea Dogs and Cats Home.
Trying to get the cat to play fetch or walk
the cat? Yeah, I don't know. They said that participants who had lived with cats were prone to be very overbearing and more likely to stroke in yellow areas like the tail, legs, and along the back, which is less preferred than the face. So, your cat hates you.
I think this is garbage because Matt the cat, while I'm sure he has red areas, and they're just the ones where I picture, don't touch me there, unless I'm paying for it, then it's different. But his belly, he loves to have his belly rubbed up to a point.
See?
When you're crossing that line of demarcation because then the claws come out, and he doesn't rip your arm apart, but he lets you know, hey, stop now is a good thing. But he loves to have his belly rubbed.
Maybe he just tolerates it for a little while.
He purrs at one point, this is no joke, he would curl up for a long time. He would climb up into bed and curl up in kind of the crook of my right arm, no matter what. Even though I was the one that initially said, look, we don't need a cat. Yeah. We got the cat on the doorstep of the Aurora Theater case so that we had something for the kids to be distracted, I think, by. But nonetheless, he would do that. My wife goes, I think that cat is gay. And I'm like, no, the cat's not gay. Dad knows how to take care of the cat.
And the cat also knows that dad was the one that didn't want the cat. So that's why
he's trying to win me over.
Favorite. No, because the study showed the people that dislike cats, those are cats' favorites, people. So the fact that you disliked him, that's why he likes you.
I don't know, man.
It, yeah.
We get, he does curl up quite a bit with me. Nonetheless, love the cat story. Thank you.
All right. Next choice. Full contact funeral. Live like the rich, sort of, or lying down on the job.
Well, the last one seems like a government category. Let's go there, lying down on the job.
Lying down on the job. If you are looking for a possible career change, boy, do I have the opportunity for you. This comes to us from the great Big Apple of New York City and Casper Mattresses. You may have heard of them. They're a mattress brand, and they're trying to break in. It's hard. So what are they going to do? Well, they are now hiring Casper Sleepers. It will be your job to sleep for a living. The Casper Sleepers will actually lie in the stores in unexpected settings around the world and sleep. There's going to be some work required while employees are awake, but then you'll have to create social media content and share your experience of being a professional sleeper. The job application is open until August 11th, according to the listing. They say the ideal candidate should have, quote, exceptional sleeping ability and a desire to sleep as much as possible. Sounds like my kids.
Yeah.
And the ability to sleep through everything. This is definitely my kids. In addition to being paid to sleep, successful candidates will enjoy being able to wear pajamas to work, limited free Casper products, and the flexibility of a part-time schedule.
What is the purpose of this?
Not sure.
I get the feeling somebody in marketing did a study or something and said, when people walk into a bed store or a mattress store and find someone to sleep on a mattress, it makes them want that mattress?
I mean, I know.
That
I
would creep me out.
Me too. And the funny thing is in the application, they encourage you to share your sleep expertise on TikTok. What are you going to do? Show pictures of you sleep? I mean, what do you possibly do? I mean,
who it just films seems, you while you're sleeping?
Exactly. There's so many questions.
Some kind of indoor security camera, I presume, with that green tint. You know, that kind of NDG thing that
exactly.
you got going on.
Oh.
That is, Billy, that is a weird story. How
weird.
In the hell do you find these things?
It is a gift. All right.
I don't know. Is there a receipt with it?
There should be. All right, your final choice this morning, sir. Full contact funeral or live like the rich? Sort of.
It's interesting because they come from opposite ends of the spectrum. One is life, the other death. I'm going to go with death.
Ah, death. Full contact funeral. Ah, this comes to us from Richmond. It happened just recently, back on August 6th. An elderly woman in Richmond was being laid to rest. The family of over 20 people were gathering in the Rolling Hills Memorial Park. It was about 1:30 p.m. It was a beautiful afternoon. Until...
Dun, dun, dun!
The brother and the sister who've had bad blood for years started arguing. Bro and sis started arguing, then the boyfriend of the sister came over and said, hey, just walk away, ignore him. That's when the brother decided to, well, you know, attack the boyfriend, because that seems reasonable at that point. At some point during this physical fight, the brother decided that he was going to take it to the next level. He went over, got into his car, and tried to drive over his sister. In the funeral, during the funeral, in the cemetery.
Creating business.
Yes, in the car, he attempted to drive to his sister in an aggressive way, according to the police report. Instead, he struck another female and sent her to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. He also damaged the grass, knocked over and damaged headstones, vases, broke a water main that ejected copious amounts of water and flooded a few funeral plots, and best of all, knocked over the casket.
Oh, did Grandma topple
out? No, Grandma did not topple out.
They had her belted in?
Yeah, I guess so. But even that, he hit the casket trying to run over his sister with the car. When the brother got out of the car, a family member began pummeling him in the head with a cane and restraining him until police arrived.
Only could have been better if it was a walker.
I know, exactly. The 36-year-old son or brother was arrested for felony assault with a deadly weapon and vandalism. They estimate about $20,000 in damage.
What was the fight over again?
It doesn't say what it started over.
I mean,
but
now
again,
I
it just said
they had
bad blood for years, and they just start arguing. The brother and sister start arguing, and then when the boyfriend comes over to calm it down, brother says, "I'm going to punch you." So he just goes on from there.
No better person to make peace between longstanding familial rivals than a boyfriend.
Exactly.
What a chucklehead.
Yeah. I mean, so many bad decisions.
That voice that says, "Try to go do good here," should be dwarfed by the voice that says, "Not your business."
Yeah, not your business.
Just sit this out.
Exactly. Not your circus, not your monkeys.
I mean, this would be like the French trying to mediate between the North and the South in the Civil War. Let
exactly.
it go.
Yeah, let
Stay
it go.
Over
yeah.
there.
Just don't
Eat
worry
a croissant.
About it. And that's it. That is the end of our game show today. As always, George is our winner, and I'm your perennial loser, but the check cleared, so we are proudly Woo! Sponsored by Danger Dan's Lifestyle Tips and Tricks. Yes, it's time for even you to jump on the craft beer and homebrew craze. Yes, if you've got an old bathtub or an old garbage can, we can show you how to make money in your spare time. You can brew your own beer, ferment your own moonshine. It includes recipes and actual marketing suggestions that you can do to encourage both the adults and the kids in your neighborhood to drink. Yes, Danger Dan's lifestyle tips and tricks. Remember, Danger Dan is not responsible for loss of hearing, sight, or organ failure. Back to you.
Not organ failure? I mean,
no.
Normally that's one that's covered
responsible. No,
by liability.
No,
how do you waive your right to be protected from organ failure?
You got to read the. It's a big long list of things at the end when you sign it.
Sweet goodness.
Yeah, terms and conditions.
Billy, thank you for all the effort it takes to do this. You're here long before I get here, so I have no idea what it takes to put all that together.
It repeated blows to the head.
At some point, you're going to add in sound clips to this. I just see it coming. There will be something.
I had one last week, but we didn't get to it.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I deleted it though. It was a woman who was she knows that she's very happy because she lives up in the woods, and I want to say it's Vermont or somewhere like that. She's very happy because she's certain that Bigfoot has returned. She said Bigfoot hasn't been there for several years, and now she's hearing the howls and the cries, and she's certain that the Bigfoot has returned, and it's warming the cockles of her heart. So we had a Bigfoot howl. That's
oh, we did. Well,
yeah. But
recorded,
you know,
actual or fake?
they're all fake. But
wait a minute.
It's. I mean, it's pretty much wolves howling. But she thinks it's the Bigfoot. So I wasn't going to argue with her.
You're obviously not an aficionado of a great movie. Two words: Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, I've seen that one.
I mean, that is it.
You know,
it's
what
true.
I like watching the Bigfoot Hunter shows. Because every week
there
they come this close. Yeah, there's a big group, and every week they come this close to finding the Bigfoot. But no, and however, they're not daunted. They go back and they keep searching next week, and they come this close again.
And what are they finding? Like
no.
A smoldering campfire, and they're like, we were just minutes away.
The fun part is, it doesn't matter what they find. It's always a sign of a Bigfoot. This is a, you know, these bushes are pushed down a certain, this is a Bigfoot nest. Oh, these trees have fallen over,
they
but look at
nests?
The pattern. This evidently, I don't know, but that's, you know, it's just what the Bigfoot people say.
Did they ever come across Bigfoot prints?
What they think are Bigfoot prints, yes.
Huh.
Well, what they are actually, we don't know. Yeah,
much like everything else, Billy, you're a denier.
Yes, I am.
A Bigfoot denier. When the truth finally comes out, won't you look silly?
I find out that the truth often conflicts with my reality. I'm not happy with it.
Yeah. Listen, if folks out there at 710 KNUS are looking to get some other truth with just a touch of entertainment there, I want you to go out to the podcast for Advanced Colorado Rundown. That is me and Michael Fields. He provides all the smart stuff. I provide the rest, whatever that is. We interview folks who are in the know about things that are in the news. And one of those people that we just interviewed was Pam Anderson, who's been on the show a bunch of times, but not in her... I guess her position as a candidate or the nominee for Secretary of State, I hope she wins, but in the position of someone who knows how the election process will work as we head into the general election. And she gives some great information about that. And then we talked to economist Steve about the red-hot housing market, the challenges it creates, and where we may be going in the future. And for those of you that were worried, are economists all superhuman chalk? You will not be disappointed with that. I'm kidding. Steve was a wonderful interview. There's a lot of time in there where it may be edited out now, where I'm making efforts to get Steve to laugh. It's like trying to get a statue to laugh. And either I'm not funny, well, just leave it at that. But listen to the Advanced Colorado Rundown. It's about every week. In fact, our goal is every single week for about 15 or 20 minutes, easy to listen to as you sit in horrible Denver traffic or drive from point A to point B. Definitely do that. Now, when we come back, I want to talk with you about this raid at Mar-a-Lago that took place 2 days ago. We talked about it pretty intensely yesterday. I want to keep that conversation going because there have been some other things that I've had a chance to take a look at that are developed here. And the big question that one of the big questions that I had asked you and the callers who were nice enough to call in yesterday was, doesn't the rule of law apply equally to DJT and to you and to me? And the idea being that whether you are a principal, a plumber, a peasant, or the president, right? Like the rule of law has to apply equally. And so then that really led to a question of, should there be a double standard? And I think we heard Jim Jordan say something like, man, if they can do this to the former president, they can do it to you. And while that seems silly to me, I've come to a conclusion here that there does need to be a double standard. There does need to be a different standard in this situation for the former president of the United States. I'll tell you about it when we come back. George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. Won't waste any more time with you with my blathering. Other than this, an update. Very interesting development. Did not know this was going to happen. There's a guy named Senator Pete Lee. He's a state senator down in El Paso County, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Pretty powerful when it comes to the criminal justice stuff. He has been a thorn in the side of people who want to hold offenders accountable for as long as he's been in the legislature. Gentleman, I'll say that. I mean, he's never mistreated me on the record. Always been a gentleman in that way, but I'm not sure we've ever had a single agreement on anything ever when it comes to criminal justice. He was indicted yesterday by a grand jury down in the 4th Judicial District for lying about his address and where he lived for purposes of voting and running for office. And I didn't know any of these things, but according to the story that I read, and I think it was in the Gazette, this is a guy who claims to have had one address at a teeny tiny little place in the district he represents, while his wife lives in a much larger, maybe twice as big or more, nicer home in a different Senate district that he doesn't represent. And he said he shuttles himself between both of those places. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just interesting. But he is indicted now, which is just an accusation. Of course, he's presumed innocent, but never seen anything quite like that. But again, getting back to the big topic of the day, the last 2 days, and maybe for the next future days, never seen anything like we did with the execution of a search warrant at Mar-a-Lago 2 days ago by 30 FBI agents. And yesterday, you and I had a great conversation about it. Some of the conversation was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but most of it was pretty good. And I'd really posited the question about the rule of law and is anybody above the law? I think the answer to that is an unequivocal no, but should there be a different standard for you, me, and maybe DJT? And I think I'm coming to the conclusion that there should be for this reason. It's not like DUI. It's not like an assault or a murder or, you know, going into a store and stealing stuff. For those things, I think the process should be identical for you and me and the former president. But when it comes to this particular issue in this particular manner, I do believe the process needs to be different than it would be if we, you and I, were suspected of having violated whatever our security clearance was and secreted away some documents. And that is because of all of the other attending issues that have made this such a political thing. And the potential political ramifications for the future. If Trump were just some other dude who had worked in the Pentagon, I'm completely fine with the FBI showing up raiding their house. This is different. And it strikes me that because he was the once and potentially future president, or at least candidate for president, and because of what the FBI had been proven to have gone through with the manufacture of, between Carter Page and all the other stuff and the manufacture of the Russiagate thing, I do think there needs to be a different standard and a heightened standard in this particular case. And so I sat down and I started thinking to myself, you know, what's the ultimate goal here and what's the process that we followed? And does that process reflect the sensitivity of the situation in a way that it should? Not just for purposes of dotting the I's and crossing the T's and meeting the technical requirements of whatever the FBI claims it does and the prosecution down the road, not just that, but because the optics of this matter for America. And so it has to be treated differently. And some folks might be out there saying they did, they took their time. We'll get there. But just hear me out here. First off, I read to you one of the statutes that I thought might be applicable here and were probably the basis for the FBI going and seeking a search warrant, which only requires probable cause. Now, I heard someone on NBC, Meet the Press, they have a podcast every day now that they do it. And it's a weird intro because, you know, if it's Chuck Todd on Sunday, he said, hey, if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press. They don't have any other follow on. So what they do with every single show is they say, if it's Wednesday, and then they just start talking about whatever the issue of the day is, like if it's Wednesday is their lead in. Anyway, the woman that does the show yesterday says, well, you know, they've already proven to a judge probable cause, and that's an incredibly high standard. That is not an incredibly high standard at all. That is a low standard. It ain't zero, but it's pretty darn low. It is not clear and convincing. It is not beyond a reasonable doubt. It is not even in the zip code of those two things. It may be on the road towards them, but it's not. So probable cause, low standard. So I read you the one statute that I thought might apply there. There's another one that's been referenced, and that is 18 USC, that's United States Code 2071. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, or attempts to do so, or with intent to do so, takes and carries away any record, preceding, map, book, paper, document, or other thing, filed or deposited with any clerk or officer of the court, blip, 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 shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years. You'll remember the other statute was 5. But this one has another section here that's been referenced. Whoever having the custody of such a record, proceeding, map, blah, 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 willfully, unlawfully conceals, removes, blah, 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 shall be fined not more than 3 years, but and shall forfeit his office and be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. As used in this subsection, the term office does not include the office held by any person as a retired officer of the armed forces of the United States. And there have been some pundits out there, and frankly, some Trumpers that are out there that are like, this is the reason why they're trying to convict him of this, to keep him from becoming the president. And if he's convicted, he can't hold public office. And I'm here to tell you that is fake. That is a capital F fake concern to have, because Congress cannot prescribe the qualifications for being president of the United States. That is reserved to something called Article 2 of the United States Constitution. And the Article 2 makes it unequivocally clear that the president can be removed from office and, frankly, barred from holding future office if and only if he is impeached for a high crime or a misdemeanor. That's it. So while this may apply to lesser non-constitutional offices, and I think that Congress has the ability to do prescribe some regulations for that and some qualifications, I don't worry, and the president shouldn't either, for one millisecond, that even if they figured out a way to get into the end zone on this 18 USC 2071, it would not cause me 1 ounce of concern to give advice if I were the legal advisor to the president to say, go ahead and run. They cannot stop you from running. So do not worry about that. That is not what I think is going on here. What I'm pretty convinced is going on here is that this has absolutely nothing at all to do with concerns over classified documents. That does not mean that he didn't break the law potentially in having taken them from the White House or wherever he had them without declassifying them, which he had the authority to do as president. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm about 99% sure that this was all pretextual and that this was an effort to have access to his house, documents, and things that they thought, think, believe, hope, dream will provide them information about his involvement in January 6th. That's what I think is going on here. And here's why that happens. Here's why that can happen. Back in February, when these National Archive folks are out at Mar-a-Lago and they're meeting with Trump's attorneys, and he turns over to them apparently like 15 boxes of stuff, some of which include classified information. Probably there's a violation of something there. I get it. But he turns it over. That doesn't mean you just say, oh, well, I guess you made a mistake. No big deal. But the biggest thing was, how do we recover these classified or sensitive documents? And they did. So they sit on it from February. And remember yesterday when we talk about this, it troubles me that law enforcement wants to now say, this is so super important. We had to swarm in with 30 armed agents to make sure that we secured these documents, you know, at this weird hour when they made sure that Trump wasn't there. I mean, just the whole thing was a little weird. But I'm good with weird if it's to pursue a violation of the law. I get it. They're not going to like announce, hey, we're coming on this moment. I understand that. But it's just bizarre that they would sit on this thing for the better part of 6+ months. And that's what they did. And my concern was most warrants that are supported by affidavits, that affidavit has to include fresh information or reason to believe that the situation had not changed from when it was originally obtained. They took their sweet time. It can't possibly be premised on them saying, well, we needed to go up the chain of command. We needed to get legal advice. 6 months is two-thirds of the time it takes to make a baby. There's no chance they needed that much time to make sure that this was done correctly. But working in the background during all of this is this January 6th stuff. And it keeps going and it keeps going. And they're, you know, Pat Cipollone and all these other folks are now starting to be brought before the committee and they're being asked questions under oath and all this other stuff. That's all percolating in the background. Meanwhile, it seems like the FBI and DOJ are just hanging on to this, forgive me for the pun, Trump card. And this Trump card is, we know we can get access to his house. We know we can get access to these documents. So they sit back and they wait and they wait and they wait. And they've probably already gone through this process. Now, no doubt it's super sensitive. This is, it appears, this has never, ever, ever happened in the history of America. That's a big freaking deal, right? That is a big deal to use the authority of the Department of Justice and then to invoke the court's authority to get yourself inside a former president's house. I don't care who the former president is, Clinton, Obama, Carter, Biden, Trump, but doesn't matter. Big, 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 big deal, big deal. So I think they know they have this in their pocket and they'd already gone through this process. And the timing is just so interesting to me. Like, why not last month? Why not 4 months ago? Something else is motivating this. Now, could the timing be because, hey, we're past most of the midterms now, we're getting ginned up for the general, and we're trying to put this on the public's radar to remind them this is the dude that was the leader of the Republican Party, Mr. Criminal Pants? Maybe. I do think that's got to be a conversation that they had. But I think the bigger thing here is something called the Plain View Doctrine. And the Plain View Doctrine says that if law enforcement is in a place they have a right to be, and they're searching for things they have a right to search for, and they come across anything else of criminal nature, and usually it has to be something of obvious criminality, they get to grab that up too. This is how it plays out. You get a search warrant to look for item X. And in the places where item X can be stored, let's say you're looking for a knife. You have a search warrant for a knife. And in the process of searching someone's house, you open a bunch of drawers, you open a bunch of cabinets, and you come across not the knife, but lo and behold, drugs, like a big bag of suspected cocaine or fentanyl or something. You can seize that. And if you're doubtful of your ability to seize it, but it has that criminality, you can check yourself. You can hold people out of the home while you go get another search warrant authorizing you to search for more of that thing or to even seize that. So the Plain View Doctrine says if you are lawfully in possession of something and you are searching for that something, if you come across something else that has that obvious criminality, boom, you get it. So here's where we get to the boxes. They grabbed up a whole bunch of boxes. I think it was 15. I don't know why that number sticks in my head. They grab up 15 boxes. My guess is it ain't 15 boxes of all classified documents. In fact, the things that I've read and that I've heard are some of the things that they are worried about him having, and I use worried with air quotes, are like a letter to Kim Jong-un. Okay, short of him saying, Kim Jong-un, here are a whole bunch of top secret things, that letter may be sensitive, it may be classified, but it's not like it's the state secrets, right? But if they grab up a box that has one or two classified things in it, they're not limited to just the two known classified things. They're going to get to expand that search to the rest of that box to see if there are other classified documents. And in the process of going through that search, lo and behold, they come across documents that are damning to the president about something related to January the 6th or something else. Do you see what I'm saying? The fishing expedition thing is legit. It's a legit concern to have. It's not the first time, for instance, let's say we've had a search warrant. We've been able to toss someone's laptop, and that means to do a forensic download of it. And we're searching for specific things. We're authorized to do it. And what do we come across? Child porn. Guess what? Didn't have to have a search warrant for child porn. If you came across it legitimately while you're searching for the thing you're authorized to search for, touchdown, baby. That's what I think is going on here. I think they know they have him on these technical violations of this statute. And I don't mean to diminish the violation of the law by saying that. But I think they know they have him on that, but they wanted to wait for now, and they wanted to expand it as they could, and the timing is what it is with the January 6th thing. That's my concern. I'm about 90, 99% there that that is what the hell's going on. That being the case, this being the former president, the relationship he has had with the FBI, and their, frankly, their reputation, and this doesn't apply, by the way, to the vast majority of the men and women working in the FBI, but the reputation of the leadership and some of the guys like McCabe and these others. Yes, there should have been a different standard applied here. I want to talk to you about that as we continue through the show when we come back. But before we cut away, I get the opportunity to talk to you about a new advertiser on the show. And that is, you know what I'll do is I will do that after we come back from the break. I think, look here at the clock. I have hosed Billy out of doing the break when we're supposed to. I will come back. We'll talk a little bit about our friends Bingo Mortgage, and then we'll get back right into this. And then I want to get your phone calls at 303-696-1971. What now? What is going on here, and what does this mean? George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS, wrapping up the first hour with you. We're going to be with you till 10 o'clock, Charlie Kirk thereafter, and then we go live and local with Stephen Tubbs at 3 from 3 to 7. Now, I teased this a little bit. I want to tell you about a new advertiser for us, and I'm excited to have these guys on. Now, listen, I've heard about reverse mortgages for years, never really understood what they were. I'm now really at a place where I'm learning more and more about them from Bingo Reverse Mortgage, and here's what I figured out. I am bummed that I don't yet qualify for it. It is an incredible opportunity, but one that's not available to me yet. Here's the deal. If you're over the age of 55, a reverse mortgage loan allows you to convert that equity in your home that you've been paying into forever into cash or to purchase a home. It can be your ace in the hole when it comes to actually retiring instead of dreaming of retirement, instead of having all that money just sitting there in your house locked up waiting for you to give it over to your family. And by the way, be taxed by the man after you're gone, because nobody deserves to pay taxes more than a dead person, right? While you're alive, enjoy that equity. The fact is most Americans won't retire. Bingo Reverse Mortgage is saving the American retirement, giving you that opportunity. The benefits are incredible. A reverse mortgage can put more money into your pocket for living expenses. It can also help you fight inflation. I think we're going to get new inflation numbers today. We'll see what Alpine Planning tells us, but I think we get new inflation numbers today, and they give you more security in your retirement. Get the safety net you deserve. Call this great team, the Bingo team, at 720-541-5545. That's 720-541-5545, or visit bingoreversemortgage.com, bingoreversemortgage.com. Let them know I sent you, and you get a free appraisal reimbursed at closing. That's a $750 value. bingoreversemortgage.com. It's an equal housing lender. Call 720-541-5544, I'm sorry, 5545 for cost information and conditions. Licensed in Colorado, NMLS ID number 226-8418. I was getting us to the point talking about what's going on in Mar-a-Lago with some concerns I have and why I think there needs to be a separate standard for DJT or, frankly, any former president. This isn't just about Trump. We talked about how, and I'll tease this again at the top of the 7. We'll get back into it, and I want to have conversations with you about what now. Like, what now needs to happen for us to move forward? I don't want to hear any of this garbage talk about revolution or a new civil war. That is reckless. It is dangerous. It is unwarranted. Could anything happen, you know, with the government that might get us there? I suppose, but that is just so premature. I mean, if you're there, sit back, man. Cut back on the caffeine. We're not there, but we are very concerned. Could it be a constitutional crisis? It has that smell to it. I don't think we'll get there. I don't know, but I'm very concerned the more I look into this. And so when you have this issue, and someone texted me and said, hey, they were looking at a box of Melania's panties. I don't know if that's accurate, but I did read an article where they spent a long time going through her stuff. So now that we, and I've come to this conclusion, there needs to be this separate standard. The questions that I have are, why now? If this was such a big damn deal, why wait 6 months? That's got to be answered. We have to have answers to these questions, and we can talk about the timing of it. And why this method? It appears that the National Archivists and the Trump lawyers had been going back and forth for some time. We know the Trump people gave up a whole bunch of boxes of stuff back in February. And even if they disagreed about the timing of turning something over, I'm now to the point where I need to know the answer why they went this route, the kinetic route, instead of negotiating. Maybe negotiations fell apart. Or a subpoena, like a grand jury subpoena, which could have been done in secret, and we would have never had to know about any of this stuff. Why didn't they go that direction? Now, yesterday when we talked about this, I said they don't have to do that. They wouldn't do that for you and me. They'd just come in feet first and take the classified stuff. But there has to be, in my opinion, given all of the things that we talked about, a different standard. And so now the transparency piece really matters. And so when I'm willing to concede that there has to be a different standard applied to any former president under these circumstances at this point in history for this, then the idea that the Department of Justice is going to sit back and say, mum's the word because our protocols say we don't talk about an ongoing investigation, nonsense, utter nonsense. I think that Merrick Garland owes it to America, not to Trump, but to America to come forward and at least provide some answers to some of these things. And if not now, it's got to be pretty darn quickly. Because in the absence of that information, in that vacuum, it gets filled with the crazy stuff. It gets filled with the conspiracy theorists. It gets filled with talk of civil war and revolution and the tree of liberty must be refreshed by the blood of people, not me. You know, that's why it has to happen. This cannot be treated with the same protocols that would apply to you and me, because we didn't look at it that way from the outset. They didn't treat it like that because they wouldn't have waited 6 months for you and me. They wouldn't have gone through all the hand-wringing and the legal check. They'd have just come and done it. So they've already acknowledged it's different. So they need to follow through and give us information. Now, some folks have said, well, they have the warrant. Release the warrant. Trump has the warrant. He was served the warrant. That part is true. And I do think that that is something that the president has the ability to reveal. Now, maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe there's something scandalous in there. Maybe there's something that's unflattering in there. Or maybe just the not knowing helps him. I don't know. But I want to make sure that you understand, in releasing that warrant, that does not tell us the why of them getting in there. It doesn't tell us what the judge considered. That search warrant is pretty limited. It just really describes what the FBI, what the government has the ability to go in and search and seize. And then there's a return that's generally left. When the FBI takes stuff, or any law enforcement pursuant to a search warrant, they're supposed to leave with you a list of things that say, hi, we took this. That's about all that you can expect that Trump has. Now, should he release those things? I think he should. I think when we're having conversations like this that lead to conversations about revolution and civil war, and this is August the 8th is going to go down in history like December the 7th, which is crack smoke crazy to say that out loud. But there it is. When you have that environment, you got to give it up. I think President Trump owes us that. And I think that Merrick Garland owes us an answer. One, did he know and did he participate in this? And if someone says he didn't, then he should be fired. Because there is just no universe where the head of the Department of Justice could have allowed a situation to exist where a former president's house is tossed at force using judicial authority and he didn't know about it or participate in it. If that's true, bye-bye Merrick Garland. And I'm glad you were never a Supreme Court justice. When we come, there's just more angles to this thing, and I want to talk to you about some of this stuff. It's concerning. It's concerning. No way does it diminish my thoughts on someone being held accountable under the law, including the president. But there's just a lot more to talk about. I want you to join me in that conversation, either on the app with the texts that are now starting to really come in, or the phone call, 303-696-1971. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.